Good evening. It's always good to, I look forward to the first Sunday every month because I have the opportunity to stand in this pulpit and bring a lesson. I'm going to talk tonight about help. Somewhere along the way, we've all come to that point where we're going to need God's help, or we have needed God's help, or we understand that we need it all the time. So I want to start this off with a little story. I heard this many, many years ago, and I couldn't remember all of it, but I think I got it pretty close. So anyway, there was a scientist, and he thought he had everything figured out, and he didn't need God. He told God, he said, "I don't need you anymore because I figured out how to make animals. I can clone them. I can do them in test tubes. I can make any kind of animal I want." And he told God because of that he had plenty of meat to eat. Then he told God that he had developed seeds to grow crops for him and the animals to eat. He told God, he said, "I can grow any kind of seed I want. I've got it all developed. Anything from fruits and vegetables to whatever I need to sustain life on this earth." He told God, then God asked him, he said, "How are you going to grow these seeds? Because they have to germinate, you know, in order to make plants." Well, he told God, he said, "I'm just going to plant them in the dirt." God said, "That's my dirt. If you don't need me, you can't have and you can't use my dirt." So, a little short story, but as you can see, that mad scientist did indeed need God. First thing I want to start with this evening, we're going to look at several Bible verses to kind of make a point here. But the first I want to look at is one that we've covered in class three weeks ago. And it's about a centurion. And it's in Matthew chapter 8, if you want to follow along, starting with verse 5 through 13. As I did research for this lesson, there's literally hundreds of verses that go to help. So I tried to separate out, and some of the ones that I liked the best, that's what that I decided I would use. So Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 5, it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.' And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." So this all happened after Jesus had preached to the crowd and coming down off of the mountain. This centurion approached Jesus. He asked for his help to heal his servant. And Jesus told him, he said, "Look, I'll come over to your house and I'll heal the servant for you." And the centurion then looked at Jesus and he said, "Look, just speak the words. You don't need to come to my house. I know, you know, it's going to be done." And Jesus looked at that and he told the crowd, he said, "Look at this man's faith. He's got so much faith that I don't need to even go over there." He said, "Just speak the words." And he knew his servant would be healed. And we look at this story, and I look back to the mad scientist that thought he had everything under control. And we look at this, and this centurion, he told Jesus, he said, "Look, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say, come, and he comes. And you know, I've got all this control, but I can't help my servant." He needed Jesus' help. Just as the mad scientist thought he had everything under control, it came down to one thing. He still needed God's help because he needed to use God's dirt. This centurion had all the control that he could ever dream of, but he needed Jesus' help to help his servant. I'm going to start back in Psalms. We're just going to kind of come through and look at half a dozen different verses as we look at this lesson tonight. I want to start with Psalms chapter 60, Psalm chapter 60, verses 9 through 12. And it reads this way, "Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies." Let's look at that a little closer. In verse 11, he's saying God gives us help from trouble. And he makes a statement here, for the help of man is useless. The scientist was man. He could do only so much. The centurion was man. He could only do so much. We are men and women. We can only do so much. And I speak for myself, and I usually, you know, I don't like to use all-inclusive words, so I'll just say many of us, probably at some time in our life, have been to a point where we think that we can just get along and do everything our own way. We don't need God. And then all of a sudden, our life starts to crumble apart. And just as the Israelites did out in the desert when they were on their trek, they would turn to God and say, things aren't right, I need your help. This passage, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. And then in verse 12 it says, through God we can do valiantly. That means to do great. It means to do great things. For it is he who shall tread down our enemies. How are we ever going to deal with Satan on our own? He's a lot wiser and a lot craftier than I am. Somebody asked me one day, I was on the computer, and they asked me what was going on. I said, hey, when you figure out and you're smarter than this computer, then you let me know, because I'm not there. I'm not smarter than God. I cannot do things that God can do. But there are times in my life that I thought I could. There were times in my life where I thought, I don't need him. I can do this on my own. And we see it every day as we walk through our life, whether some of us are retired, whether we're still in the workplace, or we're going to school or whatever we're doing, we see it where people just want to walk all over everybody because they think they can do it by themselves. Proverbs, one of Bruce's and mine favorite books. It was hard for me to separate a verse or a passage out of Proverbs because there's so much that deals with help in Proverbs. So I settled on Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 8. Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 8. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Make them near and dear to you. Mercy and truth. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust. There's a tough word sometimes, isn't it? How do you deal with trust? Can you put that faith in something and that trust that we talk about? Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. And how? With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That's what we saw with the scientist, didn't we? He was trying to lean on his own understanding. He was trying to lean on the own things that he put together. All of this stuff that he put together. He thought he had it made. And verse 6, it says, in all your ways, that's all inclusive. I didn't say just part of them. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. But I think it's important that we understand what the writer's saying here when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means to trust in God with no doubts, with nothing in your mind that says, this can't be done. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. So you put those two together, if you're going to turn over and you're going to lean on God for everything, then to me it's obvious that you wouldn't be leaning on your own understanding. Because if you're still trying to lean on your own understanding, how are you going to put everything over onto God? We're going to talk about faith in our morning class here in another month or so. And I want to talk about the difference between worry and concern. What's the difference here between our own understanding and being able to put everything and all of our trust in God? It's two different sides of the spectrum here. It also tells us with mercy and truth to bind them in our heart, to put them around your neck, to never let go of them and find favor. But the thing I wanted to make here is that we can't lean on our own understanding. We cannot try to do it by ourselves. Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. This is a comforting scripture. It reads, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Don't be overtaken. Don't be amazed, if you will, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you and I will help you. Verse 11 reads on, it says, behold, and all of those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced and shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. So those that are against you are going to be ashamed and disgraced and they'll be nothing. But those that stand with you, they shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. A very comforting scripture to me, to know that God is there for me. I don't have to worry if I've got, as we looked at previously, if I've got that trust put around my neck, if I've got it in my heart, and I've got everything turned over to God, and I'm not trying to do it under my own understanding, then I don't, it says, fear not, I will help you. But you have to have all these things put together in order for that to transpire. Fear not, God says, I will help you. We go back to Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. This is Jesus speaking. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. We're all familiar with that passage. It's a passage that's talking about spiritual things. If you're looking for heaven, if you're looking for righteousness, if you're looking for salvation, knock on the door. It will be opened. And he who knocks will find. So we look at this whole thing that we've been looking at as far as help. We need God's help. All we have to do is knock on the door. Well, how do you knock on a door? You bow down and you talk to God in prayer. I find myself through the week forgetting to pray. As much as I pray and as much of God's work as I do, sometimes it just gets pushed aside. So how am I going to get help through tomorrow if I don't sit down with God tomorrow morning and ask for the help to get through the day? Where's that trust in God? Where's that hanging around my neck, that thing that says God will be there with me? Where's that thing that God says, fear not, I will be with you? But if I don't sit down and talk to God in the morning, how am I going to get help through the day? To me, if I'm not doing that, then I'm trying to get through the day on my own. I'm trying to be like the scientists and get along without God. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. And everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God's door will open to you if you ask him to open it. Hebrews 13, 5 through 8. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're asking for my help? I'll be there. I will never leave you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And besides that, it says, what can man do to me? We've talked about that in other classes and other lessons. What's the worst thing man can do to you? Put you to death? That's the worst thing I can think of. Or torture. That's the worst. The worst thing a God can do to you is cast you into a salvation that's on the other side of not heaven. Put you in a life eternal of fire and hell and damnation. That's the worst thing that God can do. But what's the worst thing man can do? Put us out of our earthly living. Then it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you're asking for God's help, you're asking for Jesus to help you, he's going to be there. And he's not going to change his mind and do something yesterday and do something different today and something different tomorrow, as man does. He's going to be the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And then in Philippians, Bruce this morning jumped all over both scriptures I'm using tonight. And that's okay, because there's a lot to be said in Philippians. There's a lot of lessons that I've heard out of this pulpit right here on Philippians. And we'll look at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, because we get anxious about stuff. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We just talked about that. We sit down with God in the morning, we're going to ask him for help to get through the day. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, will guard your minds through Jesus. Look at that one more time. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Paul's saying here that that peace that God gives us, we can't even understand what that is. But it will guard your hearts and it will guide your minds through Jesus. It will put into your heart and mind what you need to be doing. It will guard you. And then in verse 14, Paul kind of sums everything up in this whole letter when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We can do that. We can do what we need to do. We can be everything we want to be through Jesus. I want to end this with the lyrics from a song. Some of us will remember this song. Some of us probably don't know anything about it. Depends on our age. It's a song. It's a Beatles song. And I want you to know I'm not a big Beatles fan. But when I was researching this lesson, this song popped up on my computer. It was a song that was written by John Lennon, primarily. And he said it was one of his most real songs that he ever put together. And as we listen to the words of this song tonight, I want you to think about the times in our own lives where we have said these words, maybe not exactly as they've been written here, but we've said them. And maybe we're saying them today, maybe we'll say them in the future. But it's a cry for help. The song's name is Help. It says, help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Will you please, please help me? And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? In our lives today, I think we tend to think we don't need God. He can't do for us when we proceed to do things on our own. I have a simple question. How's that been working out? If you're in that position or been there. And probably most of us can say, okay, most of the time. Then we get in a pickle. We get in trouble. And we ask for God's help. We can't do as the scientists did and basically tell God we don't need him. There'll be times that we do indeed need God. Those of us sitting here tonight know that we need him all the time. Those in the world cry for God's help when they get in a pickle. Some of them will turn to God. Some of them will accept God. Some of them will get out of the pickle and go on thinking they can do things on their own. Please, please help me if you can. The lesson is yours. We issue an invitation at this time. If you've got any kind of issues in your life, if you need prayers of the congregation for anything you might need, maybe you need some help in your life. Maybe you've got things going on that you can't get the control of that you need. Talk to God. If you need the congregation to talk to God for you, we will do that. If you've never put your Lord on a baptism, tonight would be the night to do that. Don't put it off. We need God's help. The invitation is yours. The lesson is yours. Let us stand and sing as Kurt leads us in a song.